So this morning, I felt this word for us, and I would just want to, I just want to take a moment to open this up. You see, there's an old saying, sort of biblical saying. Well, I don't know that it's a biblical saying, but there's a saying. It says, "Beauty is in the eye of the beholder." Has anybody heard that? For the young kids, you might be like, "What?" It's beauty is in the eye of the beholder, which basically means what I see as beautiful is beautiful. And that doesn't mean that we're always going to agree on what's beautiful. And as I've grown up in my life, just physically, as I've grown up in the church from a spiritual perspective, I've seen that this actually is something which has been demonstrated to me through the discipleship process that I've gone through the time that I've spent with people, is that actually beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And, you know, being a visual person that I am, I wanted to just give us an idea of what does that look like? What does that mean for me? So for you youngsters that are sitting here, like, what does it mean that beauty is in the eye of the beholder? So we look at things through our own lens. We've got our own grids of how we interpret the information that's given to us. And that could be That could be through experiences that we have. It could be the place that we're in our lives. But those things are led by certain things. So if you have a look, sit quickly. You guys are going to enjoy this. So can you just put that picture up of the first horse for me, please? So this is called an akaltiki. Carla, if I've said it wrong, please forgive me. My pronunciation might not be akaltiki. And this is regarded by some as the most beautiful horse on the planet. Would anybody agree with that? Huh? It's a beautiful horse. It's sleek. It's got... looks like it's just stepped out of the salon. You know, there's Tresemme on its mane. There's Tresemme on its tail. It looks like it's been, you know, oiled up with oil of Olay. This is like a really beautiful horse. Most of us can agree on that. So now I want to go to the next horse. Now, not everybody would agree that is a beautiful horse. But I want to say to you, actually, that is a beautiful horse. There are some others that are covered in mud. I should have taken that. But if you're a farmer in the old days and you don't have a plow that's operating through petrol and you've got a cart that needs to be pulled or you've got a plow that needs to plow your field, that is going to be the most gorgeous thing you've ever seen in your life. Because that is going to save you huge amounts of effort and time because it has a purpose. So in the eye of those that are looking only at the aesthetic, at the beautiful aspects, the akaltiki could be the most beautiful one. And the one who's using that horse as a tool for productivity and to build and to draw harvest, that will be the most beautiful horse you've ever seen in your life. Can you agree with me that beauty is in the eye of the beholder? That's amazing. So this morning, my preach is going to be titled, "This Beauty in the Mess." Beauty in the mess. And what I want to focus on is, while it's a spiritual application this morning that I'm trying to bring through, I do believe that this is actually something that can be applied to your life physically, emotionally, physiologically. This is something that we can, if we understand this concept, it'll possibly even change the way we look at the world. That might sound a bit dramatic, but I do believe that. So I'm hoping this morning I'm going to change our lenses a little bit, and perhaps our perspective will shift. So I want to go to my scripture for the day. It's just one scripture. I know it's hot, so just stay with me. And it's in Proverbs 14, verse 4. And it says this, "Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox." So Tatum and her friends are going, "Huh? Could you say that again in English? Could you speak that for us non-agricultural people?" And I'd like to try and essentially what's being said there is that where there's no life, where there's no activity, where there's no strength, it's clean, it's orderly, it's neat, it's tidy, it smells good, it'll be nice and sparkling. And when you look at it, you'll go, "Wow, that would be an amazing stall for us to have an ox or a bull in." But it's clean and tidy. And sometimes we look at life like that and we go, I like it when everything works just so. Is there any OCD Black and white, I like it super clean, I shave every single day, and if there's one hair, I'll get that thing later. Like, that's not, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. God's made you like it, but you like order. You like it when things are clean. And you come into the life of church, and then you start to go like, oh my goodness gracious. But in fact, actually what we have here is we have something that's not so clean. It's a little bit messy. You see, in the life of church, there's some stinky bulls to go along with the beautiful horses. And those stinky bulls come with certain attributes, and they deposit certain things that somebody has to clean. So when you walk into that stall, it's no longer clean and shiny, and it doesn't smell that good anymore, but suddenly there's life, and things are starting to happen. So for me, when I came into the life of the church, I was not saved. I did not understand the things of God really well. I'd been in the Methodist church until, I don't know, I was maybe 10 or 11. And then the moment I had to go, I went. And the world was my tutor for 20 odd years. And then I came into the life of the church, and I can remember walking in and going, wow, everyone's so bright and shiny. Everyone looks so holy and like clean, and everyone's so friendly, and they smile at each other, and they love each other, and they raise their hands in worship, and this preacher preaches this nice message. Wow, this is amazing. Like, everybody here must be perfect. And that lasted about 14 days. Because the next week I went back, there was a man that stood up, and he said, I just want to tell you my testimony. I used to live in a car. I used to surf all day. I smoked weed. And at one stage, I was so demonically deceived that I actually thought I was Jesus. And this man's standing in the front of the church, and I'm going, huh? That doesn't look so clean anymore. And a couple of weeks later, we went to another meeting. And in this meeting, it's very similar to this sort of meeting. There's a guy that comes up and he goes, hi, guys, I just want to let you know that I am an elder in this congregation. And I've actually been caught up in a pattern of sinful behavior. And I'd like to just come and repent to all of you. And after that, we got made aware of the fact that he'd actually been stepped down from eldership and had been put into a time of discipline. He wasn't shunned. He wasn't kicked to the curb. He stayed on staff. They still continue to pay him. But he went through a process of rehabilitation and counseling and got walked with. And I looked at this and I thought, this is so not what I expected. This is messy, man. Why is this guy standing up confessing to things that at that stage I might still have been doing? It wasn't clean, it wasn't sterile, it didn't look like that. But I want to say to you that out of the mess that I experienced when Andrew stood up that day and told his testimony about what he looked like before he met Jesus, I now serve on his team as an elder 15 years later. And he's still a man that I can look at and follow as he follows Christ. And he has changed my life under the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't elevate men above their station, and he would say the same. But he's been absolutely instrumental in the growth that I've experienced, in the growth of our family. That other elder, after a period of time, was brought back in a similar setting. And I'm not talking about this setting. I'm talking about 2,000 to 3,000 people was in that setting. And he got restored, and I saw people rejoice. And what was messy became beautiful. And I want to say to you that I believe that that is what God actually has for his church. As you come in here this morning, you all come from various backgrounds. Some of you may have never been in a church in your life before. Some of you may have been in church all of your life. And you may have seen the dirty, broken side of people in church. You've looked at church and it's been messy. You're in community with that one person that just, that person never stops talking. They just talk all the time and give someone else a turn. Or there's that person that just sings off key every single week when you do worship. So you please go, please, Monet, just don't make us worship today because that guy's going to sing. Maybe you've been in a church and you see the guys on the worship team and you go, I can sing better than that guy. And actually, I'm better looking than him. I play better guitar than that person. But you know what? No one ever sees me. They don't acknowledge who I am. They don't see the gifting on my life. It's messy. Maybe you've been in the life of a church. Maybe even as you come in here today, you've come in and you've got church hurt, like leaders have hurt you. And you look at the church and you go, I don't like it. It's messy. It's ugly. I don't want to be part of that. And maybe you come in here and unknowingly, one of us steps on that exact same landmine and it explodes and we lose a leg and now you want to leave the church and we've got no idea why. And once again, the enemy comes and reinforces the message, church is messy. You can't trust people in the life of the church. It's not good to be here. Rather go and be by yourself where you can control everything and you can tick every box and everything that you need for your life is provided. But I want to say to you that that is an empty stall. No abundant crops can come from that place. We need to be amongst believers. We need to be amongst those that are going to work into our lives, that are going to help us, that are going to be a little bit messy. I want to say to you, does anybody witness to that? Is anyone brave enough to say they witness to that? I witness to that. 15, 16 years in the church, I've seen some very messy parts of it. I've been hurt and offended and abused and mistreated and gossiped about more than any of you guys will ever know. It's messy, man. It doesn't always look nice and clean. And the leaders, some of the leaders that are amongst us are going, yeah, I understand what you're saying, Sean. And some of the saints, most of the saints are going, yeah, Sean, I understand what you're saying. So I say to you, we're not perfect. I can't stand in front of you and say I'm perfect. Like, we make mistakes, man. We try hard not to. And you know what? You make mistakes too. And I know you're not trying to. So we need to be graceful with each other. We need to understand that as we do this thing together, I need you to understand in this church, in this manger, there are some bulls. And if I may say, there's some cows too. I don't mean any person. I'm saying there's also ladies. There's men and ladies, bulls and ladies in this church. There's some sheep. And there's some goats. It's here. I'm not pointing at anybody. And please, I know we're all listening in the first person. I'm not talking to you. But this is what we live with. This is what's sitting around you. As you're getting all hot and sweaty this morning, there are bulls and cows and sheep and goats around us. And that's the beauty. That's the beauty. We have all different types of backgrounds. We've got all different types of races. We've got different types of people that went to very expensive schools and people that never got an education. We've got people that have served in gangs and have been involved in that. And we've got people that are running companies and are changing lives. Where else in the world would you find that group of people in the same place, looking in the same direction? It's beautiful, man. As I stand here and I look out, I see the beauty in your mess. And I ask you, look at me and see the beauty in my mess. God's put us together. Why? Because it says here, let's just get that scripture up again, if you don't mind, please, Janine. But abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. Where there's life, where there's effort, where there's presence of things outside of our control. I cannot say to that bull when it may and may not poop. It will do when it needs to. I can't tell it when to eat. I might want it to come out and do its work today, and it goes, actually, I don't feel like it. And now you've got to try and lead that bull out. And some of those bulls are 3 or 4 tons. Oh, okay, they're not that big. Forgive me. Strike that from the record, Your Honor. They're heavy, much heavier than me. And you can't force those things to go. Sometimes you have to coax them out. You've got to get them going. But once they go and once they're on mission, it's a beautiful thing. And the word says that abundant, not just a normal crop, an abundant crop comes by the strength of the ox. This is a powerful thing, my friends. I just want to break down. Is this all right? Are you guys with me? I know it's hot. And I'm not preaching at anybody here. This is for us as a church. I've had to find this as well. I think anybody who's done, look at your work situation. Is it nice and neat and clean and tidy? And everybody is so incredibly nice to you and respectful, and your boss sees everything that you do and loves you and encourages you. And your co-workers are like angels from heaven, bring you coffee and tea. No. But there's a beauty in that. You see, because David was in the kingdom of Saul, he served Saul. Saul threw a spear at him. Has your boss thrown a spear at you yet? Anybody? Okay, we've got some work to do. David served him, even though it was messy, because he said, I will not touch God's anointed. There was something of the authority of God that it's been placed upon Saul that David looked at him and said, I'm not touching that thing. Even though he's messy, even though he's demonized, even though he's chased me, I'm living in a cave, man. He didn't touch him. It was messy. He saw the beauty. So I just want to break down some of the symbolisms so we can understand this. The clean manger, what does that mean? The clean manger, it has no output. Nothing's flowing. It has a stagnant, stationary, there might be a little fork against the wall, and there might be a door where a cow or a horse or a Uncle Tiki or a Dutch draft horse could come in and sit, but there's nothing there. The horse doesn't get any stronger in that place. It doesn't find any rest in that place. If there's nothing in it, it serves no purpose. And that's the thing, is that if there's no input, in other words, there's things that are coming in, there's no output. Do you get this? If there's no input, there'll be no output. We need to allow the messy into our lives. We need to welcome it. We need to make it okay for people to be messy in our presence. And we need to make it okay for people to be messy with us. So that when there's mess, we can find the beauty, Audrey, in the mess. The oxen, what do they represent? The oxen represents strength, effort, and investment. You see, let me just give you some details here quickly. Has anybody got any idea how much a prize stud bull can sell for? You're not allowed to say if you know. Tatum, because I've told you. Jenny, how much? How much? 40 million. Wow, okay, I'm not buying any bulls from you. No, it's not quite that much. Could we put up the picture of Cyclone, please? I'd like to introduce you all to Cyclone. Cyclone hails from Zimbabwe. Yeah, exactly. And Cyclone is regarded by the research that I did this week as being the most costly bull ever sold. And he sold for 8 million rand. So Jenny, you're almost there. And I want to ask you, that is an 8 million rand bull. Why would somebody spend 8 million rand on that? They spend it because of his fruit. You see, that bull, when he does his job, will create other bulls. And those bulls will come from his line that will create other bulls. And through that line, what an 8 million rand investment is now, in 100 years, could run into billions in value. That bull is there, and the investment was made for that to reap a harvest, for there to be an abundant crop. Now, let me ask you this. If Cyclone decides for a year he's not doing anything, the stall is clean, and it's dirty out there, and there's other stinky bulls, and it's hot. So I'm staying in my nice, clean little manger. I'm not going out. What do you think is going to happen to Cyclone? He's going to become the most expensive biltong you'll ever eat. Sorry if there's anyone who doesn't eat biltong. I'll pray for you afterwards. That bull, without serving his purpose, without bringing multiplication and fruit, becomes a useless investment. There needs to be abundant crops that come from the strength of Cyclone. Otherwise, Cyclone is just meat. The abundant crop. How am I doing for time? Fantastic. I'm doing great. The abundant crops. What is that? That's the squeeze behind the juice. It's the payoff. It's the reason that we can have a look at the messy and find beauty. And it's the reason that we can endure it. I can put up with you because one day the Lord says that I will have a reward. No, I'm just kidding. But I will get a reward. But you understand what I'm saying? Baptist talks about cancer, right? He spoke about that. Like if there was a procedure that he needed to go through and something needed to be cut out of him, and the doctor said to him, Baptist, this is going to hurt, and your recovery is going to be long and slow. But if we get this out, you will live. Would he have endured the pain and the procedure? Why? Because of the abundant crop, the life that comes from it. It's the squeeze behind your orange juice. It's the reason that we see beauty in the mess, because there's a crop that comes for us. I want to say to you, my friends, in this church, on the seat right next to you, can you look at that person? And I want you to lovingly say to them, I want you to lovingly say to the person next to you, I know you're not the mess. But I am. And then I want you to say, please find beauty in me. Some of you guys said that with a little bit too much enthusiasm, but that's okay. Even if you're a bit messy, there is such beauty in you. So much beauty, in fact. So much beauty that Jesus himself would come and die on your behalf. So much beauty that he would make right the things that are wrong, all of the mess in you. Do you realize the gravity? Do you remember the news of the gospel? For God so loved you that he sent his son. He saw so much beauty in the mess that is me. And he went, they can't fix that. There's no Hoover. There's no back actor. There's no broom or Scorpy that's going to clean the mess that he's made. I am going to have to go and clean that mess. And he came and he cleaned that mess on our behalf. And he gives us reconciliation. He brings us back into his family. He says, come into my farm. Come into my manger. I know you're going to make some mess, Rian, but I'll clean up for you again. But I don't just want you to come. I want you to bring others in. I want an abundant crop. If one bull brings an abundant crop, imagine what 100 bulls will bring. And my hope, my prayer, is that as you look around you today, perhaps you see some mess. Can I ask that we change our views and that we look at those people and actually what we see is beauty. We see someone that the Lord Jesus Christ himself came and died for with enough value to step out of the Godhead, to step out of divinity, to come into our mess for you. And if you can do that for me, can I not look at you and find some value? Can I not look at you and find some beauty? I can, and I should.